I will sing unto the Lord while I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have life in me. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, majesty. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. I will sing unto the Lord while I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have life in me. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great, and thou art glorious. Shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul.
With you this evening, a very simple one, I believe the Lord has given, and the title is Faith and Deliverance. Faith and deliverance. And I believe when we began to hear and embrace the deeper life teaching, we soon became aware that there was, with the word being preached, a great emphasis and experience on deliverance. Much of this deliverance, as we know, is a changing of the heart. It's a circumcising of the heart. We all of us became aware of the power of God's word to work this deliverance and change in our hearts and lives. And indeed, it is still an ongoing process. That was what got our attention. That is what made us come back for more and more. Something within us recognized that this is the answer to faith, to believe, to remove all the hindrances to our faith. And all of these things, as we know, have to be divinely shown to us. We wouldn't know otherwise. We would just simply be going from ministry to ministry, church to church, sermon to sermon, like so many professing Christians are doing. And they wonder why they're so confused. But when the truth is revealed, there is no confusion with truth, with God's word, His truth. There is no confusion. And some embrace this and some don't. Some desire the truth within the inward parts, and others are not particularly bothered. But we're here tonight because we desire the truth. We desire change, deliverance. We desire to inherit and experience all these promises in God's word that he's made for us, yes, even in this life. So with this faith and deliverance that we're talking about this evening, are you seeing your faith maturing? Is it reaching out for more? Not necessarily just in blessings. That can have its place. But are we reaching out for more of God? For more of that relationship, that fellowship that we have with him? Understanding more of him and his ways. That should be an appetite within each of us if we're truly born again. And if we have that faith that pleases him, then our faith is going to continue to reach out for more and more, because we have shown you over the years that the deeper life, the doorway into the deeper life, is to go as far as you want. You will never out-exhaust God. You will never outdo him. You will never come to the end where there's no more he can't do or give or reveal. It is eternal. And so are you experiencing your faith, not only maturing, reaching out, but also at the same time removing those hindrances of unbelief to your faith? Is this still your experience? Are you aware that this is the work of the Holy Spirit working this within us and through us? Indeed, are you aware that when we listen to the word of God, that it's worked a change, a deliverance? It is causing me to grow closer to the Lord, to experience more of him, his love, that fellowship. This is what should be happening and what we should be experiencing. And if you're not experiencing any of this or very little of it, then there are questions you have to raise and ask. Because God isn't going to have us meeting together regularly because it's my duty to do so. Or if I don't do this, I won't make it into the kingdom of God. Or I do this because it's become a part of my routine. I've been doing it for years now and I don't really know any different. You will never grow with those attitudes. We will only grow, we will only find hindrances removed from our faith when we hunger and thirst for more and more of him. Because when we hunger for more of him, everything else will just fit like a glove automatically. And God will provide everything that is needed for you to hunger more and more for him. And he will move heaven and earth, and he will work those deliverances in your life and my life, in which you can hunger and experience more and more and more of him, that you may know the Father and you may know his love. That is the nature of the deeper life, and that is why we teach it. If there is any other motive why you come, it will not work and you will be disappointed. That is the sole purpose and reason why we're here, why we continue in the deeper life. We continue in his word allowing the Spirit to remove those hindrances to our faith for the purpose that I may know him more. That is the deeper life. And that is what God challenges. That is what he requires, and that is what he's going to do, and he's going to work. And we're all of us, each of us, on a journey in this, with the ultimate aim and goal and purpose is that it is the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. So this is why I want to look this evening with regard to faith and deliverance. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Holy Spirit is constantly prompting us, moving in and through us, to receive the truth. He is truth. He is the revealer of truth. There is no lie in the Holy Spirit's ministry and work. And we have to be persuaded. We have to be influenced. We have to be set free in our mind and thinking with regard to truth. For faith to operate, for faith and that seed of faith to be sown into our hearts, which is what faith is about, which is what the word of God, the seed of God's word does, it has to be in truth. Now, we may not know all the truth. We're still learning. We're learning about truth. And as we learn more and more about God's truth, him being truth, that is our deliverance in itself. Because faith can only operate where there is truth. That is why, sadly, there is so little faith in the house of God. And few really walk by faith. Because they are not experiencing, they are not hungering for truth. Because we're told, we read it there, the truth makes you free. It unfetters you. It delivers you. It sets you free from the traps, from the snare of the enemy, the god of this world, the liar, the cheater, deceiver, murderer, thief, all that he is. That is what you are set free from. And this is why, of course, the enemy fights like he does. Because truth exposes darkness. And the Holy Spirit is constantly working, prompting us to receive this truth. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth or to see the truth. Sometimes we are in denial until God works with us and brings us to those places where we're then ready to receive the truth or the truth about ourselves so that we can get this deliverance. It is interesting that he reveals himself as truth. We know this so well from John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. And he says here that he was going to send the Comforter And here in 13 he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And we know that that is for the purpose of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Spirit of truth, whom Jesus said, I will send, will be indeed our teacher. He will be our deliverer, our healer, for the purpose of experiencing and learning the truth. God will remove hindrances for us to know the truth. And that is why we believe in the preaching and teaching of the gospel, that it's to the whole man, his mind, body and spirit, for the purpose of truth. Because when you know the truth, then you know the Father's love and you know Jesus. Experientially, that is. It's interesting that this word truth means it's absolute certainty. It is a fact. That's what it means. It is a fact. It's absolutely certain. And we know this. For example, we know that Israel is God's chosen ancient people. We know that he's going to restore them again in the last days. That is a fact. That is a certainty. It is a truth. It's been tried and tested over the centuries. We know that Christ rose from the dead to save man, to deliver him, to deal with sin that separates him from God. We know that to be a fact. It is certain. No other religion can appeal to that. They're all the while trying to get to their God through good works. But we know God met us in our vileness and saved us. That is a fact. The truth reveals that and has revealed it. The whole of God's word is certainty. A lot of it has happened. Much of it will happen. But it is truth. And we know that. And we know that God exposes darkness, because without God, without him exposing, we will not experience the supernatural intervention that God has on the human race, the world. Because if God doesn't intervene, which he does, man will destroy himself. That is a fact. And even philosophers hold to that, that it, man will eventually destroy himself because they're leaving God out of the equation. But we know that that is a fact. We know it is true. We know it in our own lives, how God has intervened so many times, when it could have been disaster or whatever. It's a fact. It's proved itself. It's a certainty. Why am I emphasizing this? Because that is what the Holy Spirit comes to do. As I've read to you there in John 16, verse 13. The Spirit of truth has come, and he guides you into all truth. And that guiding is also healing, deliverance. It's a journey. It's a process. It is a deliverance. Very often it is simply a change of mind, a change of thinking. Because God knows as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're unsure, then you are thinking confusion, doubt, and the enemy is in there trying to oppress with unbelief. So our embracing the truth is absolutely vital because our battle is in the mind. And God is setting our minds free. We know that because he says we have the mind of Christ. We present ourselves on that altar before God so that we can begin to discern, we can begin to learn the ways of God, to get free from confusion, from doubt and unbelief. All the while there is unbelief to your faith, there is an area of confusion still in operation. And you have not yet experienced the truth that sets you free. This is why God works tirelessly for truth, to see us free. That's why we're told that faith comes by hearing that word. As we're hearing the word, which we believe the truth is setting us free, we then can start to believe and walk by faith. Because when truth has set you free in your mind, your heart, there's no room for unbelief, for doubt. That is how Jesus walked. There wasn't that unbelief. Oh yes, the enemy tried to get him to doubt. But the truth, being the truth, because he was the truth, he is the truth, there wasn't room for doubt, for questioning. He didn't question. He simply believed his Father. He moved as the Father revealed and what he said. He never thought about questioning, unlike we do. We're still at times questioning. And we question because we're not yet free by the truth. But we're getting there. And do you know how God's doing it? By his love. As we hunger and thirst for more and more and more and more of him, that is the power that's setting us free. We all thought, didn't we, in the past, that if we listen to a tape 100 times, on the 100th time we'll get delivered, we'll get healed. Or if we spend 2 hours every day in the Word, we will get our blessings, all of which we gave up in despair. Because that is not how you approach God. Everything comes out of your relationship, your love for him and his love for you. And if it means that you spend 2 hours in the Word each day, then that comes because of that relationship. It is God inspiring and moving in your life to do so. Everything flows from him. You cannot believe unless he gives you the power, the ability to believe. And yet, we have a free will, a choice. We can choose. And so this is why God, he works day and night tirelessly with this truth to set us free. Well, firstly, let's look then at more detail as to what he does. Firstly, God isn't going to change or compromise over your life or your circumstances. Whatever you may be going through, whatever your experience, and I know some of you are really, really going through it. I know that. But God isn't going to change or compromise with regard to this. And here is where we have to be honest. All the while, we are crying out to God to change my circumstances, to change this trial. We are failing to see what God is trying to do. For example, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 13. And here he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So really, this examination that we are to do is, am I in faith? Am I believing? You test yourself, and the test is Christ in me? Is his life living in and through me? That is what the test is about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is his love loving through me? Is his faith believing through me? Is his power, his glory, living through me? Are his footsteps, where he wishes to go, living through me? Is his will living through me? That is what you are to examine and test yourself upon. And that is where you have to be honest. And when we start to be honest in that way, then you will begin to find healing and deliverance flowing. You see, if you see or are aware of a pattern of trials, or that same old road that you keep going down time after time after time, you can be sure you need deliverance. And the only way you are going to get deliverance is when you are open and honest, you examine yourself, you allow the light of God, the truth of God's word, to reveal, to expose, to deliver. And the problem is, in this life that we're living now, we're all too busy, we're all too involved in so many other things that we don't give the Holy Spirit, we don't give him the time to work this change, this deliverance. And we think he's going to do it at the swipe of a magic wand. And he doesn't. So often, he's watching to see how much we're hungering and thirsting for him, for that righteousness. And this is why, when we find ourselves going through that same trial, that same old road, over and over again, that is the hindrance to your faith. And the hindrance is because you haven't yet seen or experienced the truth that sets you free. Now, it can be a number of things, but one of the biggest problems is that self is still too important. Self is still in the way. It's what I want to do. That is why we have learned and are learning that the only way we please God is to obey him. And even that we find in his mercy and grace, he's working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. In light of that. And that's why you see, brothers and sisters, your faith is to believe and embrace all of God, all of his promises, from Genesis to Revelation. And that is why God reveals himself in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And that is all he says. God. There's nothing else. And if you want to know who I am, here it is, the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's a journey. It's a walk. It's a lifetime of which he reveals himself. And the more he reveals himself to you, the more you are set free. The more you experience the truth. That is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me or through me. And it's going to cost us in these last days to say that statement. Because many will be offended by that. So many believe out there that they too have the truth. Politicians believe they have the truth. Governments believe they have the truth. Many denominations and churches believe that they have the truth. I would never say that FGA has the truth in itself. The only one who has the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one whom we follow. And he is setting us free because he is truth. But if we personalize it and we say we have the truth, that makes us arrogant and proud. If I have truth, and I believe I do, I have it because God has had mercy on me. And I boast in none of it. And that is how it should be with us, brothers and sisters. But too many are proud and puffed up because they believe they have the truth. We know nothing unless it is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And that is how it always is, and it always will be. Well, secondly, faith and deliverance, that's what we're talking about today. Is your faith bringing you closer to God? Well, I've already been touching on this, but I think we need to look at this even further. Because if you are getting closer to God, if your faith is doing that, then there is something you are going to see and you are going to experience. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Well, actually, let's take it from verse 8 through to 10 of Philippians chapter 3. Yet indeed, I also counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Here we are, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I believe that that is the ultimate working that should be found in our lives if we are embracing the truth that is setting us free. That should be our experience right there. Right there. That I may know him. So it's not only just knowing him, but it's experiencing the power. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very same power working in your life and my life, bringing about fellowship with him, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed to his death. That is speaking of a true intimacy, relationship with Almighty God. That is listening to Jesus' requests, what he wants, and not what we want. Also often, when we come before God in prayer, it's what we want. It's our list. It's the things we need to pray about. And they have a place, don't get me wrong. But the apostle is moving into an experience. Lord, what is on your heart? What is your concerns? What pleases you? What do you want? This day, I'm here for you. That's what he's learning. That's what he's experiencing. And he's getting it because the truth is setting him free. I believe our Father is waiting for that. The bride who's making herself ready. And she is, and you're part of it, just sometimes just wants to be in his presence. You know, when you're close with someone, very often you can be together in the same room and you don't necessarily have to do much communicating. You feel quite at ease, quite at peace. And sometimes that silence is saying it all. That is what God is working with you and I. Just to be in his presence. And not blessings first. Not what I can get out of him. What I want or I need. That's how children think. We're growing up now. We're moving on into a deeper consecration and understanding and experience with God. So we can see why the Holy Spirit, the giver of truth, is working this deliverance in us. And a lot of this deliverance is just a change of mind and heart and attitude. And we really do need to know his power. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? So there we are, right under the prayers for spiritual wisdom. The real prayers are that I may know his power in my life, his mighty power that's causing me to grow closer, to hunger for more and more of Almighty God. They're the sort of prayers that we should be thinking about. The prayers that our eyes and our understanding may be enlightened, that we know and experience the hope of our calling and those riches and inheritances that are in glory, what we're destined for. They're some of the prayers that we should be praying, brothers and sisters. That is the power that we need and should experience, because God comes to you in power and might. How do we know that? Because the word says, not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. The spirit comes with power and might, changing us, conforming us into the very image of Jesus. That is our deliverance. Let's look at this also with Romans. Romans chapter 6. As I start to round this up and bring this to a conclusion. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And so it goes on. And it says, knowing this, the old man is done away. It's crucified. And that is how we walk. We walk the crucified life. That is the deeper life. Because the crucified life is our deliverance. The crucified life is the working of the cross that enables us to experience that truth. Where we're coming to that place that we don't doubt anymore. Because we're so one with the Father. Not walking in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But if we're still in love with ourselves, and if we still have such high regard to ourselves and still hindered by that pride, that independent spirit, you can't be set free. You can't experience the truth of God's word that sets you free. The Spirit said over Israel, how often I would have called you, but you would not come. You would not come. They refused to. The worst thing is when people say, yes, it's true, it's probably true, whatever it is, but I don't want to. How tragic that is. And we do it sometimes. But God never gives up on us. He's ever working with us that we embrace and experience the truth. The truth of his word, the truth of his presence, his relationship, in order to get that deliverance. And if we find we're going down that same old route over and over again, battling the same problems, God is working deliverance in you. He's removing, he's using that trial, he's using that situation to remove hindrances to your faith. It's not rocket science, this. It's just that we can't always be honest and face the fact that that is what God is doing. We can become offended. But it's a sign that God loves us. He'll never let us go through any trial unless it is tailor-made for this very purpose, to work deliverance, so that you come to that place where you do not doubt anymore and that you hear what the Father is saying and that you experience that unbroken fellowship, unity and oneness with him. But you have got to allow the Holy Spirit to consecrate you, to separate you for this. It cannot be done all the while you're busy, involved in so many things. It can't be done. That's why we're not justified by works, deeds, but we're justified by faith through a relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord, because you are setting the captives free. You are restoring us back in that unbroken fellowship with you, bringing us back under your headship, delivering us from bondage, from religion, from heresies, all those things that we were affected and damaged by. You're delivering us from them. And you've shown us again, Father, that where the power in our life lies, in order that we might know you. Father, please continue this work. Do not give up on us in your mercy and grace. We know there is nothing within us. There is no good work. There's no traits within us that appeal to you or cause you to save us because we're intelligent or we've had a good upbringing or whatever it would be. You don't think or work that way. We know we're here tonight because of your mercy. And without it, we are lost. And the only way we can give back to you is ourselves, wholly, completely, placing ourselves on that altar. Father, I pray that you will continue this work which you have begun. Help us, Lord, never to take our eyes off you for one second or one moment. Please continue to work in us to hunger for more and more and more of you. I thank you, Lord, that you have a remnant in these last days who are following the Lamb wherever he goes. And Lord, I praise and thank you for this. And I pray that you will ever preserve and keep and bless my brothers and sisters. And may they experience this true deliverance, that they may walk in that truth and freedom and total walk of faith, which is what the deeper life is. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Is mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty, is mighty.